1 Corinthians 12, and we'll begin down in verse 27. The Apostle Paul says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way." And you can be seated. So this morning, I want to use this passage as sort of a launch pad into what I hope will be a very practical discussion on spiritual gifts in general. You know that as we've been working our way through 1 Corinthians for many weeks, we've been trying to understand the gifts, the nature of the gifts that Paul mentions here. And we've looked at really all of them in depth. And the reality is that we can talk about whether or not tongues are still legitimately around today. We can unpack prophecy all we want to. We can sort of just guess what words of knowledge are and words of wisdom are. We don't know for sure. And to understand the Bible well, you guys, I think that we need to do that. But I think what's probably on most people's mind, maybe it's on your mind, I know it's certainly on my mind when I was in high school, is what's my gift? Especially if you're younger in the faith, you might wonder, how has the Holy Spirit gifted me to serve the church? So what I want to do with our time this morning is I want to sort of divide our time in half. We're going to look here and at two other passages that talk about various spiritual gifts. And then the second half is I want to make some practical suggestions or considerations for how you might figure out how exactly you are gifted to serve in the body of Christ. Because I think that's really what we want to know. That's, I think, what I wanted to know when I was young in the Lord. And I think many people also want to be faithful in serving the Lord. They want to know how the Lord has gifted them. And I think, you know, we look at this gift or this list here of the gifts. And as we look down here, I think a lot of them are maybe not necessarily relevant to us because many of them are just straight up miraculous. People who were apostles were not confused about whether or not they were apostles. People who spoke in tongues were not confused about whether or not they spoke in tongues or had a prophetic gift, that sort of thing. If you were an apostle, you had seen the risen Lord Jesus and you could show your authority with signs and wonders and miracles. I don't think we have apostles anymore. No one can claim that they have seen Jesus having been risen from the dead. It's all by faith. If you have the gift of miracles, literally powers in the Greek, it's the ability to cast out evil spirits. You probably know that you have that gift if you have that gift. Same with speaking in tongues and healings. And just to be clear, as I've mentioned before, I've never seen those gifts. They could operate. They could still exist. But they are what Paul calls here the higher gifts in verse 31. And I think they are the higher gifts because they are the more miraculous expressions of the Holy Spirit. They're higher only in the sense that it is more obviously miraculous, as opposed to maybe some of the more what we might call mundane gifts that nonetheless are given by the Holy Spirit and powered by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so maybe you don't speak in tongues. Maybe you don't cast out demons, that sort of thing. Well, now what? Well, let's just look at some of the gifts that are available here in verse 28. Again, I don't think this is an exhaustive list, as we'll see in a few minutes. Verse 28, Paul says, "And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues." I think it's a little bit ironic in a way that in all the lists he gives in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, tongues is at the very last of all the lists. And I think that's actually a little bit of a jab at the people who are making a big deal over the fact that they can speak in tongues. And he goes, you know where your place is on this list, actually? It's at the very end of the list. Sort of a little, I think, putting them in their place. It's always at the end of these lists here. That's not to say this gift is bad or wrong or whatever, but the problem that is going on in the Corinthian church seems to revolve around the gift of speaking in tongues. And I think what he's trying to do is ever so gently go, you guys aren't as hot as you think you are. You're at the bottom of the list. So anyway, so here are some other gifts, though, that we have not unpacked yet, and I want to do that. So the first one that we have not yet really dived into is the gift of teaching in verse 28, the gift of teaching. Now, this is not just teaching generically, like teaching mathematics or teaching someone how to garden or that sort of thing. When the Bible talks about teaching, and especially the gift of teaching, what it is talking about is the Holy Spirit has gifted some people to pass along the truth of the Word of God. It's always a systematic teaching of biblical truths. So maybe you're teaching doctrine, you're teaching systematic theology to people. This is when we do like a catechism with our children, question and answer back and forth. What we're teaching them is theology. Or maybe you're teaching verse by verse through something, through a particular book. So whatever it might be, the Spirit has gifted certain people to do this in a variety of ways. Some people teach adults, some people teach kids, some people teach teenagers, some people preach. Some people counsel, some people it's more of an academic kind of setting. There are just a variety of types of teachers and a variety of ways in which they exercise this gift. So teaching is just anybody who desires to see the Word of God taught to others and they feel compelled to do that. Next in verse 28, we see helping. This one is not a big mystery. It's people who just desire to help in the body of Christ. It's a pretty straightforward gift. It could be in a variety of ways. It could be helping people clean their house. It could be helping people shop that can't do that together or they can't do that for themselves. Maybe it's building stuff for other people. It could be a number of things. The idea of helping is maybe a little bit different than the idea of service. Helping sort of indicates coming alongside somebody to help them do whatever they have initiated. This isn't leading anything or directing anything or organizing anything. But if you find yourself saying, well, you know what, like, I don't want to lead that thing, or I don't want to do that project, but I'd be willing to help. I'd be willing to come alongside and do something. That's probably the gift. And let's be honest, that doesn't seem like this over-the-top, amazing gift. But who's this given by? It's given by the Holy Spirit. We need helpers in the church. People who are willing to go, you know what? Like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to help you do it. And come along. We need people that are like that to bless other people. So helping, just a very generic gift that is essential in the church. What about administration or administrating? We see that is sort of the third gift that we haven't touched on yet there in verse 28. The Greek word that is used here is actually related to a ship captain, is what it is, an administrator. Someone who is piloting a large ship, they're managing the whole crew, everything's coming together, they're organizing them and putting people where they need to be to get the ship to the location it needs to go. I think we could say this is the spiritual gift of management is really what this is. It's administration. That's what administrators do. They manage people well. It's not so much office kind of duties or paperwork, although I guess it could be. These gifts are somewhat broad, but it's more managing people. That's what administrators do. They find talented people or they find skilled people and they put them in the place where they need to go. You think of like a coach on a basketball team or something like that. It's like, well, the tall guy should probably be the center, you know? And that fast guy, you should be a forward or whatever. They're managing personnel. They're managing the body of Christ to help them build one another up in a very good way. Some of you are really good at managing different types of people, different groups, sometimes big groups, sometimes small groups, that sort of thing. God gifts people to manage in different kinds of ways. In fact, I suspect many wives have this gift because wives are called to manage their household well. It seems like that would go part and parcel with their calling from the Lord. Turn over to Romans chapter 12 for just a minute. Just a book to the left, Romans chapter 12. We looked at this list a couple of months ago, but I want to dig in just a little bit deeper to some of these gifts. Also, as you're turning, I just want to say that these are, again, just very general categories. I don't think we need to be so precise that they can't be like, well, that seems like it's outside the purview here. And it's like, well, maybe. Is it building up the body of Christ? Then it might fit broadly into some kind of a category. So all of these gifts vary. Who you teach and how you teach might vary. The way in which you manage and how you manage or where you manage might vary. Maybe you're capable of managing huge organizations, huge Fortune 500 companies. Maybe it's just a few people. Maybe it's your household. Maybe it's a criminal watch, you know, party on your block, whatever. I think different people are gifted in different ways. And I think one other thing before we look at Romans 12 is, especially with spiritual gifts, I think we often think almost in terms of like sort of the American system of we got to keep leveling up and getting bigger and better and that sort of thing. Like that's our thing. And that's just not how this works. So sometimes the Holy Spirit just gifts you on a lower level in the particular gift that you have. And that's really, that's just okay. I remember some of the best advice that I got when I was first a pastor was someone said, look, you are Jason Upchurch. You're not John MacArthur. You're not John Piper. You're not your favorite preacher or whatever. You are Jason Upchurch, and you should preach and you should pastor like Jason Upchurch. That's what you should do. And that's true for all of us. Because even if we're gifted in a particular way, it's easy to look over there and go, oh man, but they're doing so much more and so much better. And it's like, yeah, but God has put you where you're at. It's okay. And I got two hands on my body. I use this one 95% of the time. This one's still pretty important. Okay? Sometimes you're your opposite hand in the body of Christ. That's okay. All right. In Romans here, we see a couple of more gifts. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. Paul says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. We're connected to each other. Verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. With cheerfulness. So I want us just to note here that part of the reason that we have these gifts, according to verse 6, is to use them. God has gifted us, and we should be using them in the body of Christ, in our local church. And again, we're going to skip some of the ones that we've already covered in depth, but we've got a couple here that I think are worth noting. Number one is the gift of service. The gift of service, verse 7, if service in our serving. There may be some overlap between this gift and the gift of helps. Again, we're not going to draw sharp distinctions. But do you like to serve other people? Maybe you like to serve them in a variety of different ways. And that's good. That's okay. Again, it's a generic gift. Maybe you like giving people rides or cleaning houses, cleaning the church, making food. Many of you have blessed us over the last 6 weeks with meals, and it's been amazing. You've served us through this. This is really amazing. The word here is the word diakonia, which is where we get the word deacon. Well, that word in the original language was just somebody who waited tables. That's all they did is they served you, and they do a good job. They go get whatever you need, and they do it with a cheerful attitude, a cheerful heart. This is a good gift. Next, we see exhortation, verse 8. Exhortation. I think if you have the NIV, it says something like encouragement, that sort of thing. The word that is here is kind of hard to translate. It's the word parakaleo, or we'll often say paraclete, which is also applied to the Holy Spirit occasionally in the New Testament as well. And it's a little bit hard to translate, but a paraclete in ancient Rome was sort of a friend, lawyer, advocate. He was for you. He was on your side, encouraging you, going to bat for you, interceding for you. I know in our modern age, we have these people called life coaches. I don't want to go down that road necessarily, but it's that kind of idea. Somebody who's for you and encouraging you and prodding you along in a way that is good. Maybe they're telling you some truths in your life that are very hard to hear, but are very needed for you to hear. So if you have that desire, you're like the cheerleader of the church, right? You want to encourage people. You want to keep them going, that sort of thing. Maybe this is your gift, and it's a good gift. How about someone with the gift of contribution in verse 8? The one who contributes in generosity. Some people are gifted by God not only with resources in abundance, but they are also gifted with this desire to see these resources deployed in a really cool way. I think it was like 16, 17 years ago, I was listening to this radio show, and a pastor was talking about how he had a businessman in his church. I think he was an executive in the company, and he traveled a lot. And so this executive took the pastor out for dinner at this restaurant that didn't have any prices on the menu. So you know it was a nice restaurant. And he said, hey, here's the deal. I make a lot of money, and I want to invest in people, in our church, in our community. So here's what I'm going to do. I want to make a checking account, and I want to put $10,000 in there, and I want to give you the checkbook, and I want you to go bless people. And when I'm back in town, we'll come out to dinner and you can tell me how you've blessed people and how God has used this money to bless people. Wow, that's really cool. It's the gift of generosity. And so that's what they do. Every 3 months, every 6 months, they get together and they just talk about how God had blessed the local community. It was just a really, really cool gift. It could be money. It could be material means. It could be cars, property, whatever. And people who are generous bless people. They give the missionary, you know, on furlough their rental house for 3 months. Or they give someone in their congregation their spare car. Just some way. Or food or clothes. There's a guy over at Connection Point Church. I went to preach there one time, and our family went over there. And his gift is generosity, and what he does is in the off season he goes and he buys winter coats, like by the hundreds, for pennies on the dollar. Then winter rolls around and he gives them all away for free. It's just really cool. Like God has called him to be generous in that area. And I want to say I don't think this is always with people who are well off or have a lot of money. In fact, I think sometimes we see God working in generous people who actually are not very well off. I remember being in Bible college, and we're all just crazy poor, and there were just some guys in our hallway that would just give you the shirt off their back. I mean, they were just amazingly generous. I have no idea how they even survived, but they just gave. They just had a heart to give and to bless others. And so if that's you, that might be your gift. Verse 8 says, the Spirit also gives us leaders. Leaders. The one who leads with zeal, with passion, with fervor. I think there's probably, again, some crossover here between leaders and managers. I don't think the goal, again, is to make super sharp distinctions. By definition, a leader is someone who has followers. There are people who, whether it's their charisma or their gifting or whatever, people just sort of gravitate to them. They have the ability to communicate something that needs to get done, and people jump on board and they go do it with them. They have vision. They probably have good communication skills, charisma, maybe the ability to organize. Or if they can't organize, they get someone who can organize it for them. They just get stuff done. I think in the church, this gift is often given to elders, but not always. I think there are other people in the church we tend to gravitate toward who can lead as well. So if you're someone who feels compelled, like, oh yeah, we got to go get this done. And hey, you and you and you, you want to come do it with me? And like, maybe this is your gift. Maybe you're a leader in the church and you're given that gift by the Holy Spirit. The last one here is mercy. Mercy. This is the very last line here in verse 8. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. With cheerfulness. Mercy in the Bible is usually taking care of those who are not capable of taking care of themselves. That's usually what mercy is referring to. Taking care of the sick, the poor, the needy, the widows, the orphans. And this is a hard ministry. And one of the reasons I think he says, do this with cheerfulness, is because the people that you're around, if you're a gift of mercy, are people who are down. These are in the hardest spots. They've lost someone. They've lost something. They've lost everything, maybe. And you know what they need? They need someone who loves on them, but is also cheerful. They don't need someone else who's down and dour and pulling them down even further. They want to do it with cheerfulness to help them, to show them mercy and grace. Usually people that are in this situation, they already feel like a burden anyway. Like they've already lost and they're already pulling, and they need someone to come alongside them and love them and show them grace and mercy and kindness. Okay, let's look over at 1 Peter 4 for just a moment. 1 Peter 4. Peter does something interesting, and I mentioned this a couple of months ago. Peter just sort of breaks down all of the gifts into just two really big categories. So if you're struggling to go, well, I don't know if I have mercy, I don't know if I have service, right? I don't know. He just says, look, we can just gel these all down into two big categories. One is speaking and the other is service. So you're either using your mouth or you're using your hands, one way or another. And he just breaks them all up into those two categories. So 1 Peter chapter 4, and look down in verse 7. So Peter says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So I think there are some things that we can point out that we're all called to do here. We're all called to be self-controlled. Peter says that. We're all called to be sober-minded. We're all called to be hospitable and to love one another. That's all believers. Those are not specific gifts. But he says, when it comes to these other gifts, speaking gifts or serving gifts, he says, use your gift. Verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. And that's one of the refrains we see over and over again. God has gifted every person in the church. Go use your gift. Go use your gift. Go build up the body of Christ. And so if you have a speaking gift, go use that. And speak like God would speak. Like everything that you're saying is the oracles of God. That's how holy and reverent and sober-minded we should be when we talk. So if you teach or preach or counsel or giving encouragement or speaking in tongues or interpretation, prophesy, maybe leading, all of this would be as God is doing it. How would you represent God well? And then the same with service. Everything else is service. Mercy, faith, healing, service in general. So how are you doing that? Well, hopefully you're not trying to do it in your own strength, but with the strength that God supplies you and gives you to serve the body of Christ. Okay. So these are the gifts we see. I'm not sure even in this it's completely exhaustive. I think there might be some different things that we see. I'll mention in a couple of minutes. But let's just get really practical. Let me give you six considerations. If you're wrestling with, well, what is my gift? How do I serve the body of Christ? That sort of thing. Let me just give you some six considerations to think about. So number one, just because you are not gifted in an area does not mean you can't do it. Just because you're not gifted in an area does not mean that you can't do it. And I say that because I've heard people go, well, I don't have that gift, so I don't need to do that. I don't have the gift of generosity, so my neighbor who's hard up, I'm not going to give them any money. That guy in church who mentioned, you know, he's a little behind, I'm not going to help him out. I'm going to wait for someone else with that gift. And that's not how this works. No, we're all called in some way to be generous to the body of Christ. Sometimes God places people in our lives or situations in our lives where we are not specifically gifted in that area, but we are still called to exercise what we can do. So for instance, maybe you don't have the gift of teaching, but every person, every parent is called to teach their children and to train them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So we all exercise that. If you had a neighbor who came to you after church and said, hey, I noticed you go to church and you've talked about Jesus a little bit. Can you talk to me about the Bible? Teach me about the Bible? You know what you're called to do? Go make disciples of all nations. You are called to tell them, to teach them about Jesus, even if that's not your gift. Go, well, I hate leading, but this needs to get done. That's okay. You don't have to lead forever. Maybe just take a project and go do it. That's okay. Just because you're not gifted in that area doesn't mean you can't do it. And I'll just tell you guys, in a small church like ours, many times we'll need to serve in ways that we're not gifted in. That's okay. It might be nice if we had a whole lot more people and all these other parts and that sort of thing, but we don't. This is the group that we have, and we can survive. I don't know if you guys have seen, I see it float around on social media occasionally. There's a guy, I think he's a Christian. He doesn't have any arms. All he has are legs. And he can actually drive. And there's like this video, like this YouTube video of him like driving his car. And like he goes up to like Wendy's or something like that. And somehow he like grabs with his toes his debit card and he hands it to the guy out the window. And he drives off. And I'm like, whoa. I mean, it's not smooth. It's not pretty. But he gets it done. Sometimes the parts of the body that are not designed to work in certain ways cover for the parts of the body when those parts are gone. And that's what we can do. It's okay that we maybe serve in ways that we're not particularly gifted at. And I just want to tell you, sometimes we serve in a way that we're not particularly gifted at, or we don't think. And you know what? That's how we discover that that's what our spiritual gift is. Right? Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's awkward. Sometimes we learn. And then we go, oh, well, maybe God actually has gifted me in this way. All right, so that's the first consideration. Second consideration, I ask people, and they say, well, how do I know what my gift is? I just ask them, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Sometimes I think we make this really, really hard, right? I don't know about you guys, but when I was in high school, like there were these spiritual gift inventory tests, and you know, you're filling out the circles, and it's like bananas what it ends up with. And I think sometimes I just wish like my pastor would have just said, Jason, what do you want to do? Like, how do you want to serve? Like, do you have a desire or anything like that? I mean, sometimes I think it's just that easy. And I think sometimes if we just step back and go, look, pie in the sky, big picture here. If money weren't an issue, if time weren't an issue, if skill weren't an issue, what is it that you would do for the body of Christ? How would you build up the body of Christ? Because here's the thing. I don't think the Holy Spirit is going to gift us with something we hate doing. That doesn't make any sense. No, I think there's going to be a natural inclination, a desire, however small or big or whatever, that we want to serve in a particular way. I think he gives us a desire to be merciful by helping those who are hurting. So if you have the gift of mercy, it's just this thing that wells up inside of you. Like, how do we help those people? If you have the gift of hospitality, it's just welling up inside you. Oh, I want to have people over. I want to encourage them, and I want to love on them, that sort of thing. If you have the gift of leadership, you're always thinking about, oh, man, what can we do? Can we do this? And we build like this? Like, you're a dreamer. Like, that's what you do. I think God puts those in. I think even as we have looked at the more miraculous gifts, I think we see that they're somewhat compulsory, aren't they? Like, even in the gift of Acts, it's not like the people are like, you know what, we're converted. You know what we really need to do? We need to automatically speak in foreign languages. Like, nobody says that. It just, like, sort of wells up within them, and they start praising God in foreign languages. in the early church. People saw all these brothers and sisters in Christ. They were from out of town, and they're like, you know what? There are brothers and sisters in Christ, and they need food. And I got this spare plot of land, so I'm just going to sell it, and I'm just going to give the proceeds to the apostles. Like, generosity just wells up within them. So what do you want to do? Maybe it's medical missions. Maybe it's help people with their cars. Maybe it's sing or play music. Maybe you want to teach. The first time I ever felt the desire to teach was when I went down to Master's College and I heard John MacArthur preach for the first time. And I had two thoughts. Number one, I want to do what he does. And number two, I never want to stand up in front of anyone ever. Like, how do you have those two conflicting, like, desires at the same time? I have no idea. But if you're going to teach, at some point, you have to stand up in front of people, and you have to give it a shot. And I'll tell you, I was nervous. Like, the first 6 months that I was preaching, I was nervous, like, every time. And after a while, you're like, okay. And some of you are like, I will never be up in front of anybody. But sometimes it takes some time. It takes opportunity. The third consideration, I would say, is what are you already good at doing? Not just what do you desire, like pie in the sky, but what are you already good at doing? And this gets into the discussion about, well, is there a distinction between natural gifts and spiritual gifts? And I think we often get this idea in our mind of, okay, well, when I became a believer, like, apparently I got all this brand new set of equipment, all these brand new gifts that I just absolutely didn't have before, and so now I got to discover what these are and go utilize them. And it may be the case that when you come to faith in Jesus, that God blesses you with new abilities and new talents, that sort of thing. Certainly the miraculous ones, right? But I think there is also a sense sometimes which God, for lack of a better word, sort of baptizes our natural gifts and abilities, right? He takes what we already have and are good at and are passionate about, and he actually says, okay, well, you're good at that. Now I want you to go, by my power, serve the church and build up the church and sanctify the church. So if you already love leading people, maybe God is calling you to lead in the church. If you were a good counselor before you came to faith in Jesus, maybe now what you do is you take the truths of the Word of God and you hone yourself in understanding how to convey biblical truth now to people, and you counsel people in the church. Maybe you liked helping people before you're saved, and now you like helping people afterward. That's okay. That's okay. The Spirit uses that in His church. Maybe you're good at construction or cooking or music or teaching. Maybe you have an eye for decorating or whatever. Like, God can use that in the church. You know, the first time we see the Holy Spirit gifting people, it's the two men who are making the implements for the tabernacle. They were metallurgists, is what they were. They were craftsmen. They had a skill that blessed the people of God so that they could worship the people of God. You don't want me as your decorator. All right? Every time I like dress my kids, it's like stripes on top, plaid on bottom. And I keep getting told that that's not the right thing to do. And I don't know why people don't think orange is in, but whatever. Different people have different gifts. So what do you want to do? What are you already good at? And go, okay, well, I still don't know. I still don't know. Fourth consideration, then go try some things. Go try some things. At some point, you got to step out. He says you've been gifted. You got to go use your gifts. So that means you have to go try some things. Maybe some things that are uncomfortable. Sometimes it's really hard to know our place in the body of Christ. I mean, it'd be nice if, like, when we got saved, like God would mail us a welcome packet. And it was like, okay, well, you've been gifted with these three things, and in 10 years you might get this one, and if you pray for this one, I'll think about it, or whatever. It'd be nice if we had that, but we don't have that. And so sometimes we just have to try. We have to do different things to see how it is that God has blessed us. You guys know Brian and April Thrush, the missionaries in Pennsylvania with Crew. Several years ago, one of the areas in which they really wanted to grow in was hospitality. This is actually part of their... I think part of an assignment for a class down at Moody. And so their assignment was they read through Butterfield's book, The Gospel Comes with a House Key. And they said, okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to invite people over once a week, every week for the 12 or 16 weeks or whatever it was. And you know what they found out they had? the gift of hospitality. And so God has taken that and he's moved them across the country. And you know how they are serving the Lord? It's with the gift of hospitality. They invite professors and they invite grad students into their home and they share the gospel with them. That's pretty awesome. But they had to try it. And sometimes it was hard and awkward and different and weird, but you got to get it going. So maybe you think you've got the gift of encouragement. So make it your goal to send out 20 text messages this week to encourage people. Shoot them scripture. Hey, how can I pray for you this week? I really appreciate this or whatever. That sort of thing. If you're curious about teaching, start small. Maybe put together a couple of teaching plans, some notes on a passage, and ask some people to listen to what you've got. Dave and Judy are in Hawaii, and I was telling her yesterday, I was praying for her because she's teaching little ones, and she's been a teacher all her life, and she's like, hey, you know, I just feel this compulsion to, how do I teach kids the gospel? And she came up with this amazing curriculum. It was like all kinds of energy to get this thing done, and it's awesome. Sometimes it's just stepping out. Two more. The fifth is your gift might not fit neatly into a specific category. It's kind of what I've been saying all along, but if you're looking at these gifts and you're still like, I just don't know. I like this thing. Well, maybe this thing you could bless the body of Christ with. Or maybe you like this over here. Or you have these interests over here. Well, can you use it to bless the body of Christ? Like, that would be really cool. Can you take your skill set and use it for the body of Christ? This is not like one of those Myers-Briggs tests or the Enneagram tests, or, you know, we fit in this little, you know, box right here and this is us and we know. Like, that's just not how spiritual gifts work. It's just not. It's okay if you don't know precisely what you're good at. I managed, I think you guys know, a granite fabrication shop many years ago. And there would be people in our shop who, you know, they were really good at one thing. Maybe they were good at polishing the edges of the granite, or they were really good on the big saw that would cut it all up, or they were really good at installation, or really good at whatever. But I had a handful of guys who were, like, they weren't amazing at anything, really, but they knew the whole process. They knew the whole operation. So I could take them and go, okay, well, I need you over here today, and I need you over here today. And they were sort of the proverbial jack of all trades, master of none. I think that's how God works also in his church, is that there are some people who maybe they don't have an amazing gift or over here or over here, but they do a little bit of everything. And we need those guys too, and ladies too. And then number six, I just want to say, be open to feedback. Be open to feedback. I say this because many times people think that they have a gift when either, number one, they don't really have that gift at all. Or number two, maybe they do have that gift, but they really need to work on that gift. And that's important as well. With all of these gifts, there's room for growth. Paul encourages Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 to grow in his teaching. Grow so much that people see that you're getting better. So we can grow in these gifts. You can become more merciful over time. You can become more generous over time. You can be a better leader over time, a better musician over time. And so be open to feedback. My final word of encouragement to you guys is don't sit on the sidelines trying to figure out your gifting. If you see a need here in the body of Christ, go serve. Go do it. And maybe that's how God will show you what you're gifted at. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that through the amazing work of your Spirit, you have gifted us. You've given us everything we need right here to serve one another, to love one another, to build up this body of Christ, to display your glory and your grace and the gospel. And so we pray that we would be diligent to utilize the gifts you've given us for your glory, that we wouldn't sit back and wonder, but that we would be active in engaging this body that you've brought us into. And so we pray that you would give us all diligence to do that.